Our scripture today follows Jesus' teaching on focusing on God and making God a priority. From the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I think talking about America and patriotism in America is like talking about other people's kids or grandkids. We got to watch out. There are a lot of potential pitfalls because some people get really, really, really defensive. When Wendy was pregnant with Ruthie, she worked at a flower shop as one of the florists. Well, when Ruthie was born, she and I decided that Wendy would stay home and care for Ruthie rather than go back into employment. But it's hard to make ends meet with one salary these days. So she babysat a set of twins who were just a little younger than Ruthie. So there was three of them. Hard work. But it did provide extra income. A teacher who had been our oldest son Michael's teacher, who was a friend who wanted to return to the classroom, needed somewhere safe to take her children. It was a good arrangement for Wendy, for Ruthie, for the twins, and for the other mom and dad. There was just one thing that she noticed, and so did I notice, when I would help her. When our little Ruthie would make a mess like little ones do, it was cute. She was our kid. It wasn't so cute when one of the twins did the same thing. It was a mess. It was a job. When our little Ruthie was mischievous like little ones can be, it was understandable. It was cute. She was our kid. When the twins did the same thing, it was frustrating and tried our patience. When Ruthie would get into things she should not, it was laughable. It was cute. She was our kid. It was plain irritating when the twins got into something. Well, on this holiday weekend, let me just say that patriotism is a lot like other people's kids and grandkids. When we agree with the patriotic act or symbol, it's wonderful. It's heart-stirring, it touches us, and it represents us. But when we don't agree with it, it can be messy, try our patience, be frustrating, and irritating. Mark Twain said, quote, "It is by the goodness of God that in our country we have those three unspeakably precious things: freedom of speech, we can say what we want; freedom of conscience, we can think what we want." And Twain ends with, and the prudence to never practice any of them. That seems especially appropriate when talking about patriotism. We need to be careful, my friends. Be careful. But to be the church, we cannot be silent on things that matter. We must be willing to engage, to be open and honest in our conversations, and to have true dialogue, even when we disagree. Disagree with respect. Often it seems we have nothing interesting to do with our freedom other than to be self-indulgent, to breathlessly fulfill every desire, chasing after this and that, consuming and indulging, accumulating. Perhaps the problem with our democracy is that it has given us the freedom to get what we want, but has given us so little guidance in wanting that which is worth having. We cannot deny where we are. We live in the United States of America, and in order to be effective witness to the power of the living God's grace, openness, righteousness, love, and justice, the church must be both part of the culture and country in which it lives without becoming part of them. Be a part without becoming a part. That's the challenge. It's like talking about other people's kids and grandkids. Several years ago, when I was just starting in ministry, I was part of a clergy group, and it's hard to get a word in edgewise when you're with a bunch of clergy, right? I mean, have you noticed that? I represent that. It's just that a lot of us are talkers, and the topic of theological challenges facing the church was before us, but it morphed. It changed. It transitioned into real-life tough issues that our particular churches were arguing about. What were those real-life arguments? The issues our members were so passionate about that got them all fired up. I kid you not, these are some of the responses. Should the sanctuary carpet be blue or gray? What brand of TP was being used? Should the financial church year be a calendar or non-calendar year? And we clergy wonder why people are frustrated with churches. We only have to look in the mirror to see why. So this week would be a good week to confront the challenge of patriotism and its role in the life of the family of God. Patriotism. Regardless of the momentary appeal, none of us can escape the fact that we're from a particular town, a region, a nation, and that experience of that place has, to varying degrees, shaped who we are and what we believe. For example, I love the desert because it's home. I grew up in the desert. It's what feels right to me. When we lived back in the East Coast, and for the whole month of February, I didn't see the sun, it just didn't feel right. It's fascinating that what begins as an accident of birth becomes an integral part of our very being. Now, Christianity is one faith that has crossed national boundaries. I do need to say that I don't think God sees the national border lines that we draw and that some think are so important. God doesn't see those lines. Christianity is not just an American thing, and America is not just a Christian thing. And that's okay. Successfully entwining the sentiments and convictions of heartfelt religion and soul-stirring patriotism has always been a challenging business. Historical disasters resulting from imprudently mixing those two range from the barbarism of the European Crusaders' attempts to wrestle the Holy Land from the infidels to the massacre of Native Americans at the hands of the United States Army and on to the pathetic excuses for homelands in the black townships on the fringes of affluent all-white cities in apartheid-stained South Africa. However, patriotism coupled with Christianity need not always turn out with such tragic examples of bigoted triumphalism. The English churchman, scholar, politician William Wilberforce, living during an extraordinarily nationalistic late 18th century, defined patriotism as, quote, a quality that bound men and women to their homeland without confining philanthropy to a single nation. I like that. Perhaps some of Wilberforce's conviction stemmed in part from the fact that, well, taken at its basic form, Christianity is love in action. But even the universal love of God and Christ were initially particularized. Take the Bible, for example. Written by the Hebrews, it talks about God choosing a specific people. Here's a spoiler alert. It's the Hebrews. To join the divine in a special relationship. In the New Testament, Jesus' nationality and heritage are an integral part of how it's put together. And even Jesus' own ministry and mission were initially directed only at God's historic partners, the Jews. It's only after he is rejected by his own people that Jesus feels the freedom to turn his ministry toward the outer world. So Christians cannot then count as a sign of weakness or fanaticism to have a special bond of attachment to a specific place. Persons unable to love their countries are seriously challenged, for it is the same preference for the particular that inspires our ability to love our spouses, our children, our hometowns. Christians should not be embarrassed to love their nation or fear that their love for one place will hinder their ability to love others as well. Now, God called a halt to the wilderness wanderings of the Hebrews, and they settled in Israel. Now, while King David was denied the honor of building a permanent residence for the formerly nomadic Yahweh, God did reveal that God had decided to pitch a tent among these people for all time. Daring to love and serve both God and country with integrity is a risk we must take. Today, as we face the dawning of a new century with a day of new challenges and new opportunities, I ask, so what is the church's role in that? Now, before I get to that, let me tell you about a friend. I have a friend who has perfect kids. He does. Just ask him, and he will tell you. Both of them are perfect, and anyone who doesn't agree with this and think the same way about his kids doesn't know what they're talking about, and he gets really defensive if anyone suggests anything different. I know his kids. I love his kids. They're great people, marvelous people. But that whole thing about his attitude really puts a damper on conversations with him. Because guess what? His kids aren't perfect. They take after their parents. It's true. But the slightest little comment sends him into a tirade. Now, I have three wonderful, great, talented kids. I love them dearly, but they're not perfect. They have strengths and weaknesses because they, too, take after their parents. If we look at America like my friend looks at his kids, we might not notice some of the destruction that has occurred in it. Will we notice the pollution staining the land and waters in the name of corporate profits lying under the protection of our flag? Will we notice the appalling number of elderly living in poverty under the banner of freedom? Will we notice the bullet holes that people have shot into the flag, or the layer of methamphetamine smudging its colors? If the spotlight of reality is not strong enough or bright enough to reveal these faults and others, then it is up to us as individuals and as a church, like the prophet Nathan who took on the most powerful King David, it is up to us to increase the intensity of the light and to boldly speak the word of God to the country we love. The prophet Nathan could have been killed for pointing out the sins of David, but he had the courage and the integrity to challenge the king nonetheless, because it was the right thing to do. As a church, in order to live our purpose of righteousness, of loving service, of peace, that is so eloquently stated in our narthex plaque, so must we have courage and integrity to challenge the nation we love. When our country that we love refuses to love the people, let us be a light to shine forth righteousness, service, and peace. When the country we love puts shareholder profits over the needs of working people, let us be the light to shine forth compassion and the voice to say enough is enough as we share righteousness, service, and peace. When the country that we love decides, well, your boss can choose whether or not you use the pharmacy based on her or his religious beliefs, let us be the light that shines forth boycotts and protests so that all might live God's righteousness, service, and peace. When the country that we love makes policies that discriminate against the poor, against the LGBTQ community, against the unemployed, those who are differently abled, the downtrodden, let us be the light to shine forth righteousness, service, and peace. When the country that we love has politicians seeking only re-election and re-election and re-election and not the people's welfare, let us be the light to shine forth that demands action and a change in our priorities so that all might live God's righteousness, service, and peace. When the country that we love demands punitive rather than reformative actions in our courts, let us be the light to shine forth God's righteousness, service, and peace. When the country that we love demands its own way or no way in worldly issues, let us be the light to shine forth true dialogue through our righteousness, service, and peace. When the country that we love doesn't stand up to terrorism or human rights violators, let us be the light to shine forth courage in our righteousness, service, and peace. When the country that we love takes advantage of poor countries in the world, why? Well, because they have resources that we want, and we can do whatever we want to whomever we want because we have the strongest military. Let us be the light to shine forth fair trade in righteousness, service, and peace. And when our country that we love has lost its direction, let us be the light to shine forth a vision of righteousness, service, and peace, of what we can and will be. We may not agree with people when they protest against some action or policy of the United States that the United States has done or is doing, but I thank God that I live in a place where such protest is allowed. I thank God that I may or may not, it's my choice, join in such protests. And I do think it is our Christian responsibility to make sure the United States is a nation of social justice, where all citizens are given a fair and equal chance at the blessing this land affords. And that means at times we protest march against the country we love, like guiding the direction and course of our children, occasionally reprimanding them. So must Christians be to the country we love, sometimes reprimanding it. And when capitalism turns to greed and smacks its head against compassion, when CEOs are making 1,000 times what working people are making, when the rich are given benefits that the poor aren't even allowed to sniff, It's up to the church and Christians to say, enough. And so I say, enough. In any and all cases, whether it be a terrorist bomb or a violent storm, whether it be an unjust government policy or law in this nation, this is our place. And this is our place to bind up wounds, to comfort the grieving, to feed the hungry, to work for reconciliation. Jesus sent out people. So God is sending us out. We are called to go in the name of Jesus as individuals, as families, as community of faith, and as a nation. The opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference, Elie Wiesel said. So show others you're a Christian through your loving actions with the country we love. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Thanks be to God. Amen.